This is LBC News.
Right, let's get a little bit more about those reports that two National Guardsmen have been pulled off duty for the ceremony for the inauguration tomorrow over claims that they're linked to far-right groups. LBC's correspondent Simon Marks joins us live from the capital. Simon.
Ian, it is obviously pretty unsettling news. As you know, about 36 hours ago, the Pentagon announced out of nowhere that another round of security vetting was going to take place for the more than 20,000 National Guard troops who are patrolling the streets of this city in a bid to protect the inauguration. The security vetting designed to see whether any of them were a threat to the inauguration. Now we're being told that two members of the National Guard are being relieved of the duties to which they had been assigned tomorrow after it was discovered through that latest batch of security vetting that they have ties to pro-Trump far-right militia groups. Now, the Pentagon is underscoring that they did not discover any kind of plot involving these two individuals or anyone else to attack Joe Biden's inauguration, but there is no question that that is adding to the tremendous sense of uncertainty and even foreboding here as we count down the final 24 hours of Donald Trump's presidency. That's a Marine Corps band rehearsing for tomorrow's inaugural ceremonies on Capitol Hill. From the sound of it, they could use the practice. That will be the fanfare that rings out across the U.S. Capitol grounds as Kamala Harris takes her presidential oath of office at roughly 4:45 UK time. And then as the clock ticks towards the top of the hour, she will be followed by Joe Biden. By then, Donald Trump will be this country's former president, but he is spending his last full day in office, very busy behind the walls of the White House. We are expecting a video from President Trump in which he is going to describe what he believes are his signature achievements in office. He's going to lay out what he hopes will become his presidential legacy. I'm sure that we will hear him talk of his stewardship of the economy pre-COVID, his role developing and rolling out vaccines here to deal with COVID-19, and of course, he'll talk about issues like his decision to build a border wall between the United States and Mexico, and also the moves that he's taken to establish peace between some countries in the Middle East that did not have positive relationships previously with the state of Israel. He may also talk about China, because there's been a major move just within the last hour by the outgoing Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who has issued a statement formally accusing the Chinese government of genocide against the Muslim Uyghur population in Xinjiang. It calls the Chinese communists morally repugnant, accuses them of wholesale policies, practices, and abuses that are designed systematically to discriminate against and surveil ethnic Uyghurs as a unique demographic and ethnic group. It says the Chinese are restricting their freedom to travel, emigrate and attend schools, and deny other basic human rights of assembly, speech and worship. This statement is written in historic terms. It harkens back to the role that the United States played in the Nuremberg trials at the end of World War II, the creation of the Genocide Convention in 1948. It says, since the Allied forces exposed the horrors of Nazi concentration camps, the refrain, never again, has become the civilized world's rallying cry against those horrors. Just because an atrocity is perpetrated in a manner that is different than what we have observed in the past, that does not make it any less an atrocity. So this is a move by the Trump administration in its dying hours, absolutely to tie the hands of Joe Biden's incoming administration as far as policy is concerned towards Beijing. I think it's worth noting that Joe Biden had himself previously, in a statement, accused the Chinese government of genocide with regard to the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. But this is definitely going to raise the temperature of the rhetorical battle, at least, that is underway between the two capitals of Washington and Beijing, and create fresh challenges for Joe Biden as he seeks to navigate that relationship. Another relationship relationship was on the mind of two pretty powerful women here in the United States last night.
Historically, we will find out who he's beholden to, who pulls his strings.
That, of course, is Hillary Clinton, the former First Lady, still smarting from her loss to Donald Trump in the 2016 election campaign. She spoke last night on her podcast with Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and the two women agreed it's time for a government commission like the one that investigated Al-Qaeda's attacks of September the 11th, 2001, to find out what Vladimir Putin has got on Donald Trump.
I would love to see his phone records to see whether he was talking to Putin the day that the insurgents invaded our capital. But we now know that not just him, but his enablers, his accomplices, his cult members have the same disregard for democracy. Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
I do. I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally. But what happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world. And these people, unbeknownst to them maybe, are Putin puppets. They were doing Putin's business when they did that at the incitement of an insurrection by the President of the United States. So yes, we should have a 9/11 commission, and there's strong support in the Congress to do that.
There's going to be no shortage of investigations, at least three already underway in Congress into the invasion of the Capitol building and the events leading up to it. And don't forget that President Trump has an impeachment trial to worry about in the United States Senate. And within the last couple of minutes, Charles Schumer, the senator from New York, who will soon be the majority leader in the Senate, and therefore the man who decides when that trial takes place, has said, "Let me be clear, there will be an impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate. There will be a vote. Donald Trump should not be eligible to run for office ever again." There's also been further evidence within the last few minutes of President Trump's ebbing support among some Republicans in the U.S. Senate. Mitch McConnell, currently the majority leader in the Senate, about to lead, of course, the Republicans into the minority, has just said that the mob that invaded the Capitol was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people. The final breakage there, Ian, in the relationship between Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell desperate for the Republican Party to be rid of President Trump, who in 24 hours' time will be the former president of the United States, but who knows that he will be leaving office with the support of millions of Americans, even though his approval rating is at record all-time lows for a departing president. Just 29% of people telling pollsters that they approve of Donald Trump's record in office.
What are you going to talk about after tomorrow? We'll be live to Washington for the ceremony on LBC News tomorrow from 4 o'clock. You can listen live on your radio on Global Player, lbc.co.uk. You can ask your smart speaker to play LBC News. I'm Ian Payne. This is LBC News.